All right, thank you, folks. I've mentioned this gentleman's name several times, and now I get to mention it for real, and now I'm going to, you know, the second pass my call. I finally found out, like you heard, what a national representative is. And it's been a lot of fun and a pleasure to not only meet a bunch of national representatives, but to work with them and to work with other folks in this movement and to share thoughts and hopes and dreams with folks all over this country. It's been a lot of fun to be a national rep. It continues to be a lot of fun to be that. And it's also fun to work with the folks. So I've worked with this gentleman for, I don't know, a bunch of years, since we were both younger. I met somebody who once said, "Hey, I found a picture of me when I was younger. Do you have a picture of you when you were older?" I've worked with this gentleman since we were both younger, and I had the privilege of being national rep at his convention about a year or so ago, a year and a half ago. And they were as gracious there as they could be, and I would like you folks to help me and be as gracious to him as Missouri was to me in welcoming and making feel right at home, Gary Wunder.
I was waiting for some line like, "I wonder."
There's always tonight.
Yeah, more tonight. Romeo and I were talking last weekend. Actually, I talked. He said it didn't matter to him very much. About what it was like to have names that people play on all the time. And they always think that they're so original. "Oh, you must be wonderful. Oh, I bet you like Wonder Bread." So I asked Romeo whether he ever got tired of it. He said, "No, I just ignore it." I thought, that is such a stable way to be. I'd rather be crazy like I am now. Well, I understand that you've been told to turn off all your electronics, but we'll make one exception. You can turn on your note taker. Because I got some information I'd like to give you about the happenings at the national level and see if maybe I can get you to take some action based on it. Dr. Maurer asked me to come to New York again. He said, how long has it been? And I said, "Well, I think I was there around the time of the last election." And he said, "You think that they could stand you again?" And I said, "Well, maybe they can." So he sent me, and he sends his greetings. He's been in London for a while now. Apparently somebody just got elected to be a member of the House of Lords, and he was going to go off and congratulate them. That sounds like a good thing to me. We have a national convention coming up. I want to remind you about it. It's at June 30 through July 6th. We're going to go to Atlanta. And convention rates are going to be $61 for up to three in a room, $66 for quads, and I assume that means anybody else you can stick in there over four. And we're going to have a March for Independence, which means we're going to walk in Atlanta. We're going to try to make it a good fundraiser. We're going to try to get a lot of publicity about it, and we're going to try to get more local media than we normally get for our national conventions. Now, anybody who's got their name in by May 31 qualifies for $1,000. Anybody who's got their name in by December 31 qualifies for a $1,000 drawing at the Washington Seminar. So if you get your $250 to march into March, you might want to get it before then and take advantage of it. Now, we're having our Washington seminar on Monday, January 29. We'll have the Great Gathering In meeting where we all sit and learn about the issues. People say sometimes, "I'd love to go to Washington and I'd love to help the organization, but I'm really afraid that I'll go and I'll make a fool out of myself. I've never spoken with a congressman or a senator before. I love our federation, but I don't know what the issues are." So the Great Gathering In meeting is a way for us to go and talk about those issues and have people stand up and say, "But I don't understand. What am I supposed to say if the senator asks me this or that question?" come and we'll teach you all you need to know. If you get there, we'll make you a first-class representative of the National Federation of the Blind, and you can go forth and carry our message and come back and tell people, I went and I talked to my senator and my representative. A lot of new folks as a result of this last election, don't you think? Yeah. We are going to be at the Holiday Inn. Capital rates will be $139 plus 14.5% tax. Yeah, D.C. is like that, you know. Lots of people want to come talk to the Congress. If you want to make reservations, I suggest this is a good excuse to room with somebody. You can take that where you'd like. There you go. That's right. 303-778-1130 will be the extension you'd use to talk to Diane McGeorge, and she'll be glad to help you make reservations. If you'd rather email her than talk to her, her address is rmcgeorge@comcast.net, and let her know that you want to go to the Washington seminar. Now, 303-778-1130, and her extension is 219. Diane makes our reservations and for a long time has been our hotel representative. How many of you voted this week, this last week for the first time with a secret ballot? Say aye.
Aye.
How many of you had voted with a secret ballot before this week? Say aye. Okay, what's going on here in New York? What's the deal?
We're the 50th.
Can you stop
us? We're the worst state. There are not machines at every polling place. What happens is you have to go to a special place to vote.
Wow.
So that's what we did.
You know, the ballot was secret, but like there were people passing by, like it was so noisy, I had to ask them to be quiet so I could hear the machine.
And there were people standing behind them that I swear could have been looking over his shoulder, so I don't know how secret that really was.
Well, I'm going to tell you how fun it is to live in Missouri. I voted with a secret ballot. I did my ballot completely independently. It was great. The machine was wonderful. Every time I'd hit my little button, it would go psh and mark on the ballot. I had to see if it could really erase. So I went back and did one over. But it was a lot of fun. I assume that most of you have already talked with the national office, that we know that New York is out of compliance and that we're probably looking to see what we can do about that.
They're still trying not to do it by next year, too.
I see. Well, I'll leave that alone. Maybe I can come next election, and when I ask how many of you have voted with a secret ballot, you can give me a rousing aye. I will tell Dr. Maurer that there was one of us who got to vote that way. We've recently designed our website at the national office. If you haven't looked at it, you need to go to www.nfb.org. Our site has long been accessible for blind people, but it hadn't been very attractive to sighted people. And so, since at least one of the reasons for having the website is to tell others who don't know about us, we wanted to be as visually attractive as we could while still being fully accessible to blind people. So drop over and take a look at that. I need your help on working on Senate Bill 2118, 2118. And it's a bill that will provide support for Newsline for the blind. Yeah. You know that some of our states work on providing funding for Newsline, but the actual communications cost is above and beyond. We've got Representative Jack Kingston, who is a Republican from Georgia. He has agreed to write a Dear Colleague letter to members of the House of Representatives, trying to get them to sign on to S-2118, and if you'll do that, that would be very helpful. Get them to sign on to it, and we'll get funding for Newsline. We've had it as an earmark, but earmarks are not predictable, and they're not all that in favor right now. All of you know, I assume, about the IMAA, the National Instructional Materials Access Act, and the new NIMAS format standards that we've got. The long and the short of it is that I hope that each of your school districts has decided to sign on to the format. The idea is that by the start of the school year for 2007-2008, we believe that every blind student in elementary and secondary school should be able to get their books at the same time that sighted students get them. If that doesn't happen, we need to know about it, because whether you opt into the program or whether you decide that your state doesn't want to participate with the repository and all of the things that are promised by the Act, you're still obligated to meet the timelines of the Act. So, textbooks on time for college students is now the next barrier. Now, that's going to be a harder nut to crack, because textbooks for college students is a very profitable industry. There is some uniformity in textbooks for high school and elementary students. In fact, a few states in the country, like New York, decide what they're going to buy, and then most of the country has no choice but to buy those books. But that's not true with college. Your own professor can generate a textbook and tell you that you're going to read it, or his friend down the road, and you get these editions that come out all the time. It's almost impossible to sell your book back at college. It's just a very difficult thing. So we're trying to get the same kind of arrangements worked out with the publishers that we have with others. Now, there are a number of colleges that try to do OCR for us. A number of the access offices try to scan the books in so that we can use them. And although that gets us the text of the books, often the format is so difficult that studying is made to be a problem. So we need to work on this access from the publishers. You know, access begins with textbooks and teaching, but we need to read far beyond that. We need to be able to go on beyond that and interact with the rest of the world, and that's why we went and sued Target for the fact that they don't have an accessible website. They will let us look around their website, but when it comes time to make the purchase, we're out of luck. Seems to me if you were going to make a website inaccessible to blind people, it wouldn't be at the last stage in the purchasing. But that's the way it is. There was a lot of talk this morning at the breakfast about the Randolph-Shepard Act for the blind. You know, it's the most successful employment program for blind people that we've ever had in this country, but it's under a serious challenge right now. The GAO did a study of both the Randolph-Shepard Act and the Javits-Wagner-O'Day Act. That was brought about by last year's Senate hearings, and the study is really pretty negative. It essentially comes up not liking either one of the acts very much. To give you some kind of idea what kind of problem we have in vending, we currently have 2,549 vendors in this country. But 15 years ago, we had 3,700. 2,549 versus 3,700. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee that we blind vendors are supposed to be brewing. There's no question about that. The defense authorization bill is one that is always troublesome to us. Some of the most lucrative facilities we have in the country are operated on military premises, and we want to make sure that we have a shot at those. So when you get the notes from Jim McCarthy that say we're going to have a hearing, please write, "I'd like you to do that." And I hope you have a good system here for getting those information out. Nobody will be talking about this national representative changing their life anytime soon, I don't think.
Changing your vocabulary.
Anyway, I hope you got a way to get the information out, because when Jim tells us we need letters, we really do need letters. Now, it's likely that there's going to be no action taken on the Rehab Act. There hasn't for several years, but we should still be working on some issues. Maintaining the position of the commissioner of the Rehabilitation Services is one of them. We've got quite a turnover in the House and Senate now. We want to start making people aware of our issues, and this should be tops on the list. We also need more independent living money. There's a proposal to raise from $225,000 to $350,000 a year, the money that's available for that. And you know that services for the older blind in this country are in drastic need of improvement. Currently, we serve about 5% of those needing rehabilitation service who are older and who are blind in the country. So we need to work for those appropriations. You may know that recently there was a drug study about prescription bottles and instructions that would be accessible for blind people. There was a report produced for Congress by the FDA. It wasn't a very favorable report, and I'll tell you why. It said, perhaps there is some need for these bottles to be labeled and for there to be accessible instructions, but we're not sure. There may be authority for us to do this, but we're not sure. Their technology may be up to the challenge, but we're not sure. They just plain are not sure. That's the way it is. We're going to start working as we can assign folks in the Jernigan Institute to go and try to come up with some relationships with these drug companies. And since the FDA is not sure, and since we are, we're going to see if we can get some labeling and some instructions as a part of drug distribution. Let's see. We went to a conference last weekend, and I won't say very much about this because I see that it's already on the agenda, on quiet cars. If you don't know what a quiet car is, you need to talk with Carl Jacobson and Mindy and Romeo, Kate, yes, and Ray. And they'll tell you what a quiet car is. We went and found out that last weekend that there are vehicles on the road that you cannot hear when stopped, cannot hear when slowing down, and sometimes cannot hear when accelerating. And that poses some real challenges for us. We've got other ones as well. Anybody try to use a thermostat in your room?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm excited.
You know, we say that we don't press for environmental modification, but my environment was too damn cold.
So, I could see the darn thing, but I couldn't tell what to do.
So I called the engineer up, and they helped me. I wanted to talk with you just a little bit about some programs at the Jernigan Institute. We're going to try to figure out this home appliance thing. We're putting a lot of development time into going and meeting with engineers to try to fix the home appliances that we can't use. And I see that as a big thing. In FB Link, we for a long time said we need to be of more help to new blind people. NFB Link is a mentoring program connecting people with people, our folks. So I hope that you'll sign up for NFB Link. If you go to the NFB webpage, you can sign up for it. Let somebody know the kind of folks that you would be interested in mentoring, and we'll hook you up, and we'll get ourselves some new members and some members who know more about how to deal with blindness the way we want it to be dealt with. I'm going to skip some of what I had. Carl took most of my time, as you and go briefly to the financials. I assume that we'll probably have some time during the banquet to try to raise them. But let me tell you where you are. Really quickly, you're number 10th in the nation on PAC. You have $1,029 a month. Number 9 ahead of you is Washington. We should be able to beat them. I love it when we beat people because then I can go home and call them. They have 10,32.50. Think about that now. 10.29 versus 10,32.50. I would love to get Mike Freeman out of bed first thing Monday morning. Now, number 8 is Missouri. I don't know if you can beat Missouri or not, but even though I'm from Missouri, it wouldn't bother me at all if you did. Missouri stands at $10.99.50.
Yes, in Missouri.
$10.99.50. And truth is, I would even let Carl Jacobson call me early in the morning. Louisiana is number 7. If you want to beat them, they're at $1,431.50. There is a challenge. There is a challenge. In Sun, our savings program for when the NFB is on hard times, New York has $530. 7 is Florida with $530. 6 is Oregon with $550. So you can probably beat out Oregon. And I'd be glad to call Oregon as well. And Carla, California, you want to beat them? They have $1,050. That'd be fun. They have a new president in California. Who is that? I shouldn't ask questions I don't know the answer to. Ray Wayne told me that when we were doing the mock trial. KJ Fund, the Kenneth Jernigan Fund, that helps send people to the national convention. You're number 9 in New York. You have $500. 8 is Indiana. They have the same. Florida has the same. But if you can rise to number 4 in that program if you just get $50 more. You folks have been really attentive. I heard a little bit of writing. If you need any help from me, the help doesn't end this weekend when I go away. I'll be glad to answer any questions you have about the bills that we've discussed, about the technology we've discussed, or programs. My email address is gwunder@earthlink.net. My home phone is 573-874-1774. Dr. Maurer didn't just send me here for the weekend. He sent me here to be another resource available to New York, and I thank you.
Thank you, Garrett. Take him up on it. If you want any information about the Kurzweil National Federation of Blind Readers, Garrett will talk to you until you're dead about that.